The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show. We have special episodes not featuring guests where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is how much rental income is enough? But before we get started here, just a couple of little quick announcements here. First off, I always want to touch base with you and see how you guys are doing with your real estate investing. I hope everything is going great. And I hope that you guys are just crushing it in real estate investing. Not a lot of updates. The good thing is that we are getting apartments filled up with some great tenants. We've kind of stepped in and have started implementing this, what we call our stealth tenant marketing 2, and which means getting in and digging into the actual tenants themselves and trying to identify the best tenants for our properties. We're, you know, actually doing some real neat stuff there that hopefully we'll share sooner than later on another episode. Also, this is an important one too, doing taxes, okay? And this is a topic that I think we definitely are overdue for some episodes on. But I was so excited when I first started real estate investing because first year when I really had, you know, my rental properties, I had to pay absolutely zero in taxes. And I was so excited. I go, this is just awesome. And as I, you know, started to move forward with it, I was really, you know, stoked and always kind of filed for an extension around tax period because that was the time, you know, I was trying to collect all the data I could to make sure I could get all the deductions, and it was great. And then in 2016, I was totally excited because the same thing happened. Not only did I have no taxes to pay, but I had like a negative income. And so I was thinking, gee whiz, this is amazing. I mean, the benefits of real estate investing regarding your taxes. Well, okay, you got to beware. These great tax advantages can have a detrimental effect as well. I'll tell you where it hit me. It hit me as I was looking to do a refi on some of the existing properties that I had. Now, on those properties, I had applied for them before I started getting these low real estate sort of income numbers here on my taxes. And I actually, when I started to apply for rates, I thought I'd take some of these higher rates on loans because I'm a new investor, and yeah, I figure I can refinance them as time goes on. Well, having a negative income tax is really not a good thing when it comes to trying to find those great rates. And I kind of learned the hard way here. So actually, I'm doing just wrapping up my 2017 taxes. Again, always filing for extensions here. But in doing this, I have actually opted out of declaring certain things that would have reduced my taxes even more so because of the fact that I'm having trouble getting the good loans because I've got negative income on paper. So it's just something to think about and something to talk about with your CPA as you start getting into this and start getting a number of properties, especially if you're doing a lot of capital improvements and some of the things that I'm doing that really do chalk up the numbers in terms of the deductions pretty quickly. So those are just a couple of tips for you here before we get started. Let's go to our subject, and that is how much rental income is enough. Now, you probably heard people talk about how much they're seeking to make on each rental unit or door. Sometimes they'll talk about per door, per unit, referring to the income generated through the rental properties. So some investors will say, well, you know, when I buy properties, I always look for a net of $200, $400 a door. Others, you know, maybe seeking higher, $500 a door. But you know, I tend to be very conservative when I look at my properties, and I estimate $100 per door minimum for my properties, because I know that we can do more than that. But I look at the properties when I analyze them and just make sure that, hey, it's never going to go lower than $100 per door. So we're probably earning more like $200 to $300 per door on average, but I want to always allow for the unexpected. Now, this amount, which is supposed to represent the net profit left over after all expenses, is meant to help you determine how much you need to make in order for that property to meet your cash flow and investment goals. Okay, so how much should your rental income be? Well, if you're a dreamer, you'd say millions and millions. If you're a simple person with simple needs, your answer may be just enough. That amount you should know, actually, though, before you start your investing. And yes, it's usually determined in the math that you use when you analyze your properties. But at the same time, a lot depends on your why. Why are you doing real estate investing in the first place? Is it to fill a retirement income gap? To travel more, to help out your kids and grandkids? Maybe you're just bored and you want to learn something new and make money at the same time. Or maybe it's just a way to grow your retirement nest egg and making sure you get a good return on the funds that you're using for your retirement. Or perhaps you're creating a family legacy. So whatever your main reason, your why will also help you determine how much you'll need. For me, a big part of my why is to generate enough funds to help support our nonprofit 501c mission in Haiti, Child Hope International. I hope to eventually generate enough cash flow through real estate investments to help build a village for orphaned, abandoned, and at-risk children living on the streets of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. To serve the kids we served while we were living there for 12 years as missionaries is one of my big motivators in doing what I'm doing. So if you get a chance, I would recommend listening to our podcast 122, okay? That one is entitled The Importance of Knowing Your Why, so that you can zero in exactly on why you're doing this in the first place, and that'll help you to determine how much you will need, okay? So realistically, rental income amounts will differ depending on your why, cash flow needs, and your numerous other factors, and those I'll talk about a little bit later. But overall, it really depends on cash flow. That's why we say here, cash flow is king, right? You should be making enough rental income that it helps you live comfortably and at the same time is able to provide for your future goals as well, such as saving for future investment purchases, setting money aside for capital expenditures, etc., right? For example, because I am an aggressive goal of 1,000 units in 6 years, which may be adjusted as we go along, but nonetheless, that's my goal, I have been working 8 hours a day, like a full-time job, ever since I came back to the States. So pretty much over the last 3 years. Now, granted, I have a very aggressive goal, and I also have a podcast and a blog, and that eats up a big chunk of my time as well. But I love it, and that's what I want to be doing, you know. But once I reach my goal, I want to kick back, and I want to have some time to really enjoy my family, to go to Haiti, to do a lot of different things once that goal is achieved. But nonetheless, part of your calculation of how much you need also has to take into account how much time you want to spend too. So you really got to think about that, because generating lots of money, a high goal from real estate, requires a lot of time and effort, especially in the beginning. If you don't want a full-time job, well, you can set your time more leisurely and frame that into your plan, okay? So something that better meets your needs and desires. So I'm going to go over a few tips here that will help you determine how much rental income you might need. Okay, so tip number one, cash flow matters, right? First lesson in earning rental income is cash flow matters, okay? We say cash flow is king here. Instead of relying on appreciation, focus primarily on purchasing a property that generates the positive cash flow you need. In case you don't know, just as a refresher here, cash flow is defined as cash flow equals revenue minus expenses, okay? Or simply put, how much cash enters or leaves your pocket every month, right? From your real estate activities. In fact, this is quite crucial when it comes to earning money from rental income. Do your property analysis to determine your cash flow first, okay? And don't forget to include, besides rental income, other sources of revenue, such as fees. It could be late fees or pet fees, laundry income, and numerous other ways that you can obtain additional income. Then you look at appreciation. The issue when relying on appreciation alone is that you can never guarantee an increase in prices. It should always be sort of the icing on the cake, right? Now, if you listen to this program regularly, you know I always recommend buying property in emerging markets because you can directly benefit from a strong demand for rentals, increasing market rental rates, and also from equity growth, which helps you leverage and build net worth. Equity is a generous bonus, but you can't always depend on it, right? You don't always know what's going to be happening in the market. One way to ensure you get equity is to buy properties 10 to 20% under market value. That's what we always do in our criteria. That way, you can increase equity the moment you sign the escrow papers. Boom, all of a sudden, 10, 20% right there onto your value of that property. Nonetheless, first, try to buy for cash flow. And then the equity is, like I said, icing on the cake. That being said, earning a decent rental income does not always mean that you are earning a positive cash flow, okay? You could be getting all kind of income in, but if your expenses are high and other costs, you may not even be breaking even. And that's where the math comes in. You have to take all of the property's expenses into account. Things like mortgage payments, property taxes, insurance, repairs, turnarounds, and property management, as well as to set aside money for capital expenditures, replacing everything from water heaters to boilers to redoing electrical and covering vacancies and emergencies. So those are all the things you have to factor in when you're calculating your cash flow for a potential property. Tip number two, always be conservative in your cash flow estimates. Make sure you plan for the worst case scenario and be prepared for any unexpected costs. It's always better to end up making more money than get stuck short of funds when you really need it. For instance, plan a few hundred dollars extra for unexpected repairs. This is an area that has hit me by surprise more times than I want to admit. This is an area that has always hit me by surprise. I call it the old dog principle. Things you never anticipate will happen. And some of my unexpected expenses have included things like increased property taxes, stolen HVAC condensers, storm rain damage, broken water heaters or boilers, fire damage, broken appliances, tenant-initiated damage, Section 8 inspection fixes, paying insurance deductibles, turnaround expenses, you know, just your typical kind of turnaround expenses that you don't anticipate are going to be as expensive as they are. But all of a sudden, you need new carpets when you thought you had to just clean the existing ones, or you're going to have to paint, or you're going to have to fix things that we didn't know were broken. So you always have to make sure you plan for also as for vacant months as well. As much as you may be in a hot area where rentals are there's a strong demand for rentals, you never know when you're going to have an empty unit or an empty house or apartment. You know, you want to always make sure that, you know, you cover, again, all your bases. Tip number three, choose the right property. Buy in emerging markets, but also understand even in an emerging market, there are bad neighborhoods. Always make sure you study your neighborhood thoroughly. You might have to go through many markets and properties before you find the right one, but it'll be worth it. I bought a property in Memphis, and you know, I bought it, and it was a good neighborhood. There was a good mix of rentals, properties that were owned by people that lived there, and it looked like everything was good. But what I didn't do is look maybe three blocks on either side. What I would have seen is this major encroachment that was happening. There were a lot of homes being purchased by turnkey companies and others that became rentals. And all of a sudden, I'm in a neighborhood that's all rentals. And all of a sudden, my property value just dropped. So you do have to be careful, and you have to really study your markets and neighborhoods. Always too, have an inspection before you buy the property. Don't make the common mistake of waiving the home inspection to save a few dollars or to save time when the market's hot and buyers are eager to obtain properties. It's really key that you have a thorough inspection done before you buy any property. Try to find properties that are below market value as well. Search a neighborhood, look for changes and shifts and so forth, and try to get a good feel on what rents are going for, what they did go for, you know, maybe a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and be able to track and see if all the numbers are going in your favor. Tip number three, use the 1% or 2% rule. It's a good way to kind of quickly assess what is going on and whether or not that property is going to be worth digging into. You may have heard of these rules, or maybe you didn't before, but it really helps you in assessing whether you are purchasing the right property or not. It basically suggests that for a property to be a good investment, the rent should be higher or at least equal to 1 to 2% of the purchase price. For instance, let's say that you purchased a property for $100,000. The rent should be at least $1,000 at a 1% rule, or $2,000 or higher per month, okay, if you use the 2% rule. While both rules are used by real estate investors, it's important to remember this rule cannot always be followed, especially with higher priced homes. In locations with more expensive homes, the rental rates are usually higher anyway and will not meet the 1% or 2% rule. So you really do have to assess that, whether or not that rule will always apply. If you're buying in A and B neighborhoods, it may be a little bit different case, but you'll still get positive cash flow if you do it right. So how much do you need? Do you want to replace your current job's income, for example? Or do you want a certain lifestyle that may require more than you're currently making? And some people call this your financial freedom number, or even a break-even number. In any case, you'll need to come up with a monthly dollar amount. And the simple rule is to sort of work backwards. Once you have that number, okay, let's say your monthly expenses are $2,500, and you'd be happy if you make that. Now, I would say to make your target amount $5,000 per month if that's the case. That way, you allow for any kind of unexpected things, vacancies or major, maybe there's a major flood that happens or something of that nature, and those what I call old dog rule types of expenses. It'll also give you a buffer there. Maybe you can take that extra and just put it into a savings account. It'll be something that you use to acquire more properties, or it'll be your backup. And you should always have a backup. You know, anywhere from 3 to 6 months worth of reserve should something happen where you can't get that rental income. Then you look at your per unit or per door amount that we talked about before. And let's say you determine that $200 per door or per unit is easily obtainable. Then you just divide your monthly target amount of $5,000, for the example I used here, by your per unit goal of 200, and it will show you what you need, which amounts to 25 doors to meet that goal. Once you acquire that number of units, you will have reached your goal. And then you can develop your strategy. How will I obtain those? What will I buy? Will I buy 25 houses or a 25-unit apartment or a combination of single-family and multifamily properties? As long as the door total equals somewhere around 25. That's basically it. That's how easy it is to come up with what you're going to need for your rental properties. You know, the bottom line is, you know, you won't be rich from real estate in one night. It doesn't happen overnight, but you shouldn't be breaking even either. That's why it's crucial, I think, to purchase a property the right way with plenty of cash flow and the opportunity to increase equity over time. Well, that is it for today, you guys. I really appreciate your listening in. Everything that I mentioned here today, of course, is going to be in our show notes on the old dogs, REINetwork.com/blog. area, and that's where all of our show notes are. And you're going to look for the episode entitled How Much Rental Income Is Enough. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.